Okay, welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host is David Linden.
Good morning.
And we're having a wonderful conversation here with Nicole Christensen from, and who, not from, she is the director of CARE ANSWERED, which is an advocacy organization, and a very significant and important one. I want to give out, of course, 311. You call 311 at any time for anything. Everybody on the show, they have the information to pass it on. But if you have a pen handy right now, the number to get Nicole is 516-584-2007. It's 516-584-2007. And I think something that is significant is you get a free initial consultation. And that's important because even if you don't go further with Nicole, and I'm not trying to sneak this in here, you always learn something.
Absolutely.
So even if you turn around and say, you know, this is not for me, thank you very much, you're going to walk away just as we are now on the radio show.
Mm-hmm.
You walk away with something. But let's go back to Nicole now, because we have another 15 minutes to get more information out of her. This is our free consultation.
Well, it really is so important. I like to do seminars and such because it really is important to be your best advocate. And without that information, it's very hard. It's really very, very hard, especially when you're ill and it's emotionally laden, and people deserve the best health care they can get.
I think one thing you said in the first segment would help people is that you make a list. See, if you're getting nervous and off the top of your head, I'm saying, well, doctor, should I do this? Yeah, I told you should do that. Okay. Versus, should I take this medicine once or twice a day? And should I drink water with it? Or this question about grapefruit juice? If you have it down, you're a little bit more in control.
Right.
And you're not nervous because there's five. Even if you went to somebody, your daughter, your son, or somebody said, what should I ask?
Absolutely.
It gives a little sense of goal or focus.
Absolutely. One of the things that the National Patient Safety Foundation came up with was Ask Me Three, which I think is a great start for everybody to know. So when you're going to the doctor's office, the three questions are, what is my main problem? You have to ask that yourself. And then if the doctor is obviously suggesting tests or what have you, what is the main problem? What do you see as the main problem? And then what do I need to do? Is the next question. And why is it important for me to do this? Because that why one always speaks to me, because doctor may say, oh, it's important for you to have this test. And then people just go, you know, you come home, your loved one says, so what did doctor say? I have this test. What day is it? Wednesday. What's it for? I don't know. You know, that's often the question. So those are really great ways to start.
Say it again.
Okay. It is, what is my main problem? That's a question to ask yourself too, as well as the doctor. What do I need to do? You're asking the doctor. And why is it important for me to do this? Okay.
Very good.
And again, because the doctor said so is not good enough. Right? It's not good enough for your health. It's not good enough for you. You need to ask more.
Yeah.
Because doctors are people, right? And this is an example I often give, is you go about now to the doctor, you're feeling kind of punky, you're feeling achy, you're feeling a little feverish, and the doctor says, oh, well, the flu's going around. Okay, that makes sense. But if you feel like it's something else because you've had the flu before, or you're like, really? I feel something else. Ask, say, could it be something else? Because, again, they're human. So whatever they're thinking about at that moment is going to be first on their head, right? Yeah. And that's normal.
And also the most obvious being, if we have a flu epidemic going around, well, chances are.
Right.
But you may not.
Right, exactly. So, you know, asking something like, could it be something else, just gets the doctor or healthcare professional out of that box that they're thinking, and kind of pushes them to think a little bit more, especially with tests as well. You know, okay, what will that test tell me? Is there something else it could be? Would there be another test necessary? Or what are the steps after that test? Or even, you know, how long do I get to the results for that test?
Right.
One of those things of, if we don't call you back, it's good news. Do not take that as good news. They take that as no news.
Right.
It's no news. So if they're not calling you back, if that's their strategy, you can take that with what you want.
They lost your phone number.
Yeah, exactly. Right. The office was a really busy day and you just got somehow under the files. Take it upon yourself to call and say, did those tests come back? What did it say?
Now, is that something you would do?
Absolutely.
No, as an advocate for
yes.
somebody. See, the thing is, I don't want people to get confused what is my main problem? What do I need to do? Why do I need to do it? So you think I have all this ability now. You have to accept who you are.
Right.
And if you're not going to do it and you're not going to ask the questions, then you need an advocate.
Right, right.
And so you can listen and say, I'll do those questions.
Yeah, I would suggest that an advocate, and most people can't do this, you have to be politely pushy.
Correct. You always have to be respectful.
Yes.
But you need to get the answers that you need to make your best healthcare decisions.
And you, as a professional advocate, know what to ask and
know how.
And know how.
Right.
And that this is your assignment to push a little bit politely.
Right.
To get the answer for your patient.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, I will get the answers and I will always do it respectfully. I'm respectful of everybody in their positions and I respect their knowledge and appreciate it very much. And so, but I will get the answers.
On an aside, do you have to have some sort of written, you as an advocate,
right?
I have to give you written authority,
yes,
I assume, of some
absolutely.
Sort. Right, okay.
So if I'm going to, if you're able-bodied and of clear head, and I'm going to the doctor's office with you, you can say right there, this
right.
person's my advocate. You generally don't need paper. I like to have paperwork,
right, okay.
Yes. Just so that there's no mm-hmm. question or
yeah,
concern.
Covers you.
Yeah, and yes. it's also, you know, if something happens and that person does become incapacitated, it's already there. They know who I am
right.
and all that kind of stuff.
It's like a power of attorney.
Sure, yeah, but
in
it's
a
not.
Sense. In a
right,
sense.
Right, right, right.
Well, but in a very
this is not TV. You didn't see Nicole's face. No, don't get me in the middle of that. That's not what I'm talking about.
Doesn't
I'm
cover
not
bank.
Trying to be anybody's power of attorney.
Yeah, it doesn't cover bank accounts.
Yeah, sorry. No. I have no money power. No money power. But one of the things I did want to mention was there's a great nonprofit organization that I'm very proud to be part of them. It's Pulse of New York that actually provides family-centered patient advocacy training, which I also took, which was really great. I'm also a member of their Professionals for Patient Safety. So people in the healthcare profession or want to be part of the healthcare profession, it's a great team to be a part of. We're all dedicated to improving the safety of all people in healthcare.
We are, my wife and I are friends of the grandparents of a child who died, which brought about his parents starting Pulse.
Right. Uh-huh. So
it was a medical error.
I know. That's unfortunate.
Yeah,
but,
it's rampant, unfortunately.
My question is also, do you, from an advocacy point of view, you're dealing with the doctor and saying, why take this pill? And you couldn't,
mm-hmm.
are you sure this is it? Could the pain be something else?
Right.
Do you also get yourself involved with the insurance saying, why are we taking an MRI? Couldn't we take a CAT scan? And we're not paying for the CAT scan versus the MRI.
Right. That generally happens after the fact, right? People get bills and they're like, what
right.
in the world was this? I was not planning on this. Because people are just listening to their doctor. And unfortunately, sometimes the world of medicine is insurance
mm-hmm.
shifted. Yes.
Okay.
A lot of people
that's
get
tremendous.
Bills that they have no idea what they're for, and they're questioning, do I really owe all of this? And sometimes the answer is no. But the other good thing for everybody to know to ask is to ask their doctors, and their doctors are not insurance experts, I'm not pretending that's the case, but oftentimes in the office, the secretary or whoever runs the office, they know, they have the inside
right.
scoop. So take a moment and say, okay, you know, he or she, Dr. Jones, ordered this and this. Is my insurance going to cover this?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they'll know, but it's always best to get in touch with your insurance company first because, you know, just that person may know, but you want to have proof from the insurance.
Right. Because sometimes you can have a different test that will confirm or deny something. And then now if that's one is gray, then you can turn around and doctor say, listen, I'm not happy with this answer. We have to take the other test. You have to pay for
right,
it.
Right,
but if
right.
one, it's so blatantly clean, it's like, guess what? We don't have to go any further.
Right. And sometimes you can actually have the doctor assist you and say, can you write to the insurance that this was necessary?
This was a medical
need. So sometimes you can get away with doing something like that as well.
Over-testing has become a big problem.
Because
the doctors also are covering themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I have a question.
Sure.
Generally speaking, what is your degree or level of acceptance by healthcare professionals? Do they resent you? Or do they accept you?
Good question. So, again, I'm very respectful, and I make very clear who I am and why I'm there, because I'm not there as anybody's adversary. I am there. I actually make it easier for many healthcare professionals because people don't generally come in with lists and they're not necessarily so clear because they're kind of stressed out because they're not feeling well.
They're dealing with you as if they were dealing with the patient.
Right.
If the patient were mentally and emotionally capable of dealing with the doctor.
Right. So I've never really felt any kind of issues or concerns from doctors because, you know, people in the healthcare field, they know sometimes when somebody's like, I've said it so many times, but I don't think they get it.
Right.
You know, and they're walking away and you're like, oh, I wish, I don't know if that person's going to come up back with follow-up because nobody's there pushing them or being an advocate for them. Mm-hmm. So I've generally been pretty accepted.
We're out of time. Actually, just following up on that very quickly, you come across as a person that would actually be a compliment to the doctor versus an adversary.
Yes, thank you.
But anyway, we've been listening to Nicole Christensen, who's the director of Care Answered, which I think is a tremendous organization. Call 311 if you want any more information. We gave out Nicole's number earlier. And we'll give it out again in the next section. But right now, we're listening to 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. We'll be right back.